podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
¿Qué pasa, campeones? And welcome to the Churros y Tácticas Podcast. It is Monday, the 11th of April, and the Churros gods have decided that me, yes, the culé, the Barça side of this podcast, gets to do the intro today. Why, you may ask? Well, in case you haven't seen that very electric, let's call it, Levante Barça, Luke de Jong coming with the winner in the 92nd minute means that we, Barça, are continuing our hunt, our chase to make life difficult for Real Madrid, Real Madrid, as they also pick up three very comfortable points against Getafe, let's say it like it is, and comfortably continue their, what is it, Kian, 12-point lead ahead of Barça with still one game in hand, as, like I said, we pick up those three very vital important points in a very mediocre game. I'm curious to know more about Kian's perspective on Madrid's game as well. Big week ahead. Let's not linger too long on La Liga results, but also look forward, if we can, a little bit to this Europa week, where, of course, Madrid faced Chelsea in the second leg and Barça Eintracht over in the Camp Nou. Kian is with me. What's going on, my man? Let's also give a big shout out and welcome, of course, to our dear sponsors of this podcast, Manscaped. Your balls will thank you whenever you use their fine products, whether it's the Schaefer, the Chafer, the creams, the gleams, making your balls look spick and span. Use the promo code CHURROS on the landing page, manscaped.com. I imagine, Kian.
Manscaped.com and use code CHURROS. Yeah, that's the one. Those are just the logistical details you need to get that discount. Right. And you get free shipping as well. Well, you said it all. And I just don't know. Like, we don't have time to think or analyze. Like, you asked me, like, you want to know my thoughts on Real Madrid's comfortable victory. Do we even have time? I don't, like, it's Chelsea's tomorrow. I feel like
so I'm knocking on the door.
I feel like we played Chelsea yesterday. Like, what happened? Like, we were just we were just playing them like yesterday, and now we got to play them again tomorrow.
We're ready.
That goes by super fast. So,
my God. Especially in your world, where I think time zones are just one big fuzzy. Yeah, that must
time be crazy. Time is fuzzy. I don't know what year it is, what day it is, what time of day it is.
You're still posting clips of you on Sky Sports, and it's already. The second leg's already at the door. You gotta head on back over to the studios in London and hit up. Why don't you do that? Why don't you connect over a satellite? You know, come in through Skype or Zoom or something.
It's not the same. I'm sure they'd be happy to do that for me. But you know, being in studio is I've done studio things three times now, I think, and it's very rare, obviously. But anytime I've done that, I'm like. This is what I want to do. I think I want to have a future in there somewhere. But like, it's not the same when they call you in from Zoom. It's not really the same, you know? So.
Yeah. We'll have you over in Barça Studios too. Come on to our show, Kian. You're invited.
I'll never be invited back if I got invited to that show. Like, what would you even,
I won't neither. And that'll be our ticket.
That could be our last mic drop for Barça Studios. Like, the day we decide we're done, we just go there and leave with a bang.
Oh, man. Well, yeah.
Listen,
so
game in hand. Who's the game in hand against? Can you remind me?
Right. Real Sociedad.
Away from home. I'm looking at Barca's schedule. I feel like that's got to be the one where you. If we first of all, there's no, you have to win all your games basically if you want to catch up to Real Madrid. That's the very least thing that needs to happen if there's even entertainment of this. But like you said, it could be just the idea of making us uncomfortable, if anything, even if you don't win the league, which in turn affects us maybe mentally for the Champions League and all that stuff, whatever. But if there's a game, I think you would circle, it probably would be that game in hand where you would drop points, Real Sociedad. Now, obviously, we know that there's no easy games in La Liga, as was proven with the Levante game away from home on the weekend. The other one I'd look at is Betis away. And a kind of like, this is a weird one, and I don't think this is going to be a real challenge for you guys. But Rayo, even at home, just has the potential to just be something weird where Rayo...
Hey, do I have to remind you or our listeners what... The last time we played Rayo, what happened?
But at home. Home was a different
game. Do you remember? No. The last time we played Rayo, it was the last game of Ronald Koeman in charge. We lost that game, and Koeman got fired.
Yeah, well, things are different now. Now you have Luke de Jong scoring with every time he touches the ball. And
and
it's always like a game winner in the 90th minute. The guy is freaking clutch as hell. He's like Mariano Diaz, but over a long-term sample size. Mariano Diaz had that, like, after that goal against Barca when he came off the bench in the 90th minute, remember? And everyone was like, oh, he's averaging, like, a goal per minute. Luke de Jong is that, but, like, over a period of games. Like
5 times.
There's, like, I think, like, he's averaging, like, 15 goals per game if you sort it per 90 at this point. Like, he's just constantly, every time he's on the field, he's scoring a goal, and it's, like, always a game winner. So who would have thought that would have been a thing? So why don't you tell me why don't you tell me about the Levante experience, actually, before we get into the other things?
Well, look, again, may I start by saying that I professed at the beginning, or on our last podcast, that this was going to be a difficult game and should always be. Are you at least going to entertain the idea of always circling the Levante games now as potential banana peels?
That's fair.
Because this season they beat Villarreal, they beat Atletico and the Wanda Metropolitano. They make life always difficult for the La Liga giants, whether they're called Real Madrid or Real Madrid or Fútbol Club Barcelona. They are consistently Goliath slayers, whether it's Lishi in charge or Paco López. You know, these guys led by José Luis Morales, el capitán, coño, el comandante, I should say, as well. Almost scored the goal of his life. I don't know if you saw the dribble where he beat the entire Barca defense and then was alone in front of Ter Stegen, only for him to ping pong get two touches on it with knee and hand and glove, and then Eddie Garcia eventually clearing it off the goal line. But you know what a goal that would have been, for another one for Morales, who has scored so many iconic goals, and for example that sprint against Real Madrid, was it right? Last season?
Can't remember.
But that was last season. Or two seasons. Anyway, whatever. Clutch. These guys just show up when the La Liga giants come knocking. And they should, like Xavi said in a press conference, they shouldn't be in 19th position. They're in relegation zone. It's not looking good for them, despite them also having picked up, what was it, 7 of the last 9 points at home in their last prior to playing this fourth one now against Barca. The point is there, right? Levante, tough. They did it once again. They took the lead against Barca. Barca had to come back from behind. Very weak first half from Los Azulgrana, it has to be said. Barca, again, lacking in intensity against these kind of teams. And what did we speak about on Friday, Kian? You know, I told you what was sort of being whispered around the Barca hallways about Xavi complaining about the lack of intensity that this team is displaying against the more humble sides. And we saw it, you know, against Eintracht, and there's other examples of that, Galatasaray perhaps even, or now Levante. The second half changed thanks to the entrance of Pedri and Gavi. Gavi is an energizer bunny who it's got a fire within them that you just rarely see, and you'd want that to be hopefully as contagious as possible to precisely those kind of players that approach these games with a more relaxed attitude, because Gavi is the complete counter opposite, as well as Pedri. You know, the assist provider, in this case Gavi to Pedri for the 2-1, allowed Barca to get the upper hand again, but not before Levante actually had their second penalty called as well, which they missed, of course. I think it was it Gomez? Meleros?
It was
missing.
It was
Gomez
Roger.
Missing the second. Roger Martí, yes, yeah. Yes. Martí missed the penalty, correct, sorry. And but then they did get the second penalty. That time the third penalty. They scored the third penalty in a very clumsy tackle from Clément Longley as well. Damn.
It's classic Longley. Classic Barca Longley.
It's classic. We've seen that one before. Talk about Groundhog's Day, right? And eventually, of course, thanks to Luke, his intensity and his beautiful Dutch head getting again a clutch goal. It was Espanyol is the last one I remember, but we walked away with a draw, but this time now we walk away with a win. In a very dangerous game for Barca, where we could have dropped points unnecessarily. You know, these games against the Levantes are need to be battled and approached with more intensity, especially at this stage in the season where you just simply cannot take your foot off the gas. Barca were close to doing so. Those are my primary takeaways, I would say. And I should also say, though, let's also give merit with all the critical opinions or thoughts that I just shared. I think also we should give credit to the fact that this team still managed to hang in there, walk away with the win in a game where they got three penalties whistled against them, and thereby achieving something that has never been done before in La Liga history, where a team still managed to win a game where they had three penalties whistled against them.
Oh, so. Interesting. Okay. Well, that specific stat I didn't know about, but I did thought it was like such a funny thing that, you know, this is such a rare thing that happens, and then all of a sudden, in the span of 2 weeks, it happens twice with Celta and now Barca, where three penalties get called against them. But, you know, you spoke about maybe the complacency and stuff and obviously grinding out to the victory. And I think you're allowed probably to have grind out victories where it's not as pretty, given the fact that you played really well for a while now. And I think you're, you know, statistically speaking, you are one of the most informed teams in all of Europe. I think you're unbeaten now for what, like 12, 13, 14, 15 games? I don't 14, remember the number.
15, yeah.
Yeah. So whatever it is, it's a very impressive statistic. I think it may be the best streak in Europe right now, although I'm not 100% sure on that. So you're allowed to have wins like this where it's not, everything's not perfect, right? I also think, like, when you speak about complacency and all that stuff, part of the benefit of, like, if you're a big team riding that wave where it's like harder to get up for these smaller games, especially, you know, after feeling like you're on cloud nine and you're, you know, if you're beating Real Madrid away from home 4-0, you know, admittedly so, like, the human in you is like, ah, well, this game is not as nearly as exciting as going to the Bernabeu and kicking their ass.
I know,
ass,
man, so. But we were in ninth position like 2 weeks ago, Kian. I mean, the team cannot forget where we're coming from.
Sure.
We're not allowed to slip up anymore.
But one thing that you have to benefit or to at least mitigate, that's what I'm looking for. One way to mitigate that is that you have an awesome, hungry bench. And the bench right now is like very, not, it's not like, it's not quite the same as Zidane's 16, 17, 18 B team thing, but you guys have this whole army of bench mob players that come in and they dominate. Whether it's Luke, I mean, Gavi setting up Pedri off the bench yesterday. I mean, Pedri himself also coming off the bench, but like,
You should those two should start.
Well, I just assumed Pedri was being rested or something, right?
He was, obviously, yeah.
You know, Gavi, I guess there's a case that maybe he's not going to be a starter. But Gavi, you know, so people like that. And I think Dembele's kind of been like a new signing for you guys in a weird way. Because I don't
know. Yes.
Is this the best?
He's playing his best football ever.
Yeah. This is his best version. 5 years. So you guys have all that going for you. And that's all I wanted to say about Barca.
See us winning Europa League?
Yeah, 100%.
100%?
Sets up a very tasty encounter in the Super Cup against, who knows? I don't know. I'm not going to say who it might be, but it could be somebody very interesting. But let's not get ahead of ourselves yet. So yeah, that's it. And the other thing now, like it was... Everyone could kind of guess that you guys were going to get second place because, you know, there were some doubts about Sevilla and Atletico. And mind you, like, you're still tied on points with Sevilla with the game in hand. But Atletico also, like, we're talking about a big team who can't get up for little games. Atletico is right now the prime example of that. It's like the Real Madrid syndrome. Mm. It's like, you know, we got a Champions League coming up against Manchester City. We're better than Mallorca, but we're just not going to play well at all. And we're going to lose this game and just fall further back in the title race. It was already a pipe dream. Now it's just completely gone. And Barca's probably going to come second. Sevilla probably third. Well, I guess we'll just come fourth. And like, that's what Atletico are also going through right now. It's that, you know, can't get up for these little games. And that's why they're not winning the league. You know,
is Madrid going to get up for these games, or are they just going to count on these cakewalks, these walks in the park? Like,
it's a great question. Colosseum. Great question.
And they have a very difficult schedule. You have a very difficult schedule. I know on top of my head, you still have to face Atletico. You still have to go to Sanchez Pizjuan. You still have Betis. You still face Atletico? I think so, right?
I don't know. I'm not fact checking you. I'm just looking at you and nodding. Sure. That sounds all right to me. I don't know these things. Let me check.
Betis, for sure.
Sevilla next week.
Villarreal, I want to say Sevilla next week. Sanchez Pizjuan, like I said.
Yeah, Atletico away.
Cadiz, who still will have to fight for their lives. Betis, who will fight for Europe.
Yeah.
What else you got?
I assume, this is arrogance, but I assume the Cadiz and Betis are the last two games of the season. The league should be done by then. Unless Barca are, by the time we face Cadiz, unless Barca are 6 points behind us, and if Barca are 3 points behind us for the Betis game, well, then God help us all. But I would be shocked if we were to get to that stage, right? So those games may not matter that we're talking about. I think the Atletico game will matter. After that, you got Levante, Cadiz, Betis. Those ones may not matter. It may not matter.
Levante. Oh! This might work.
It might work. I don't know if we've seen crazier things, but I just assume there's been crazier things that have happened. So, listen, but I just want... You asked the question, will Real Madrid also fall in the trap of not getting up for these games? Here's one thing that maybe we can take away from the Getafe win. And we're talking about bench players who are hungry. Because part of the thing with games like this is that you're more likely to get good performances from the bench players who are hungry and the starters are not. The starters can be a combination of tired and just waiting for the Champions League game to come around. But one of the benefits of, you know, these young players like Gabby, like, they don't give a fuck about that. They just want to go out and prove themselves, right?
Yeah.
We had that against Getafe with Camavinga starting over Kroos and Fede Valverde starting over Modric. So that was a huge reason why I felt that, because in years past, we would have had this as a trap game. But Ancelotti actually rotated and everyone was shocked. And so we had great performances from Camavinga and Fede both. And we were all happy and we're like, oh, wow, great. You did this for the first time ever and look what happened. And we were all just excited and that maybe Carlo came away like with an aha moment or something. So fingers crossed, we'll see. But so to answer your question, I think if we start using some of our bench players to keep everyone fresh, I think we could get up for these games, in my opinion. It's just an assumption, but I think it makes sense logically if we were to do that. So. And Rodrigo had a good game also. He was another one that got rotated into the starting
lineup. I had a dinner that evening and it was on in the background and it felt very boring. It didn't feel like
I had a lot of fun. I guess as a neutral it was less exciting, but I really enjoyed it actually.
And you walked away with an easy three basically.
Yeah. I mean, I think like part of the reason why I was engaged, I think most Real Madrid fans were entertained, was because Vinicius was feeling himself.
These kids were playing.
And the kids, Like me personally, right now, my favorite player might be Camavinga. And like, I just love that kid so much. So every time he's on the field, I'm really excited to like just see how he does. I love him so much. Like, I really do. I even like on the Manage Madrid podcast, I sometimes get emotional just saying his name. That's how much I love him. He's like... I think he's like my version of Koeman, what Koeman was to you now. So as a player, obviously.
Hey. Yeah.
That's part of the reason why I was excited. I love him.
He cannot be your Koeman.
Maybe. He could be one day, but I think he's like starting to get. I always have like one player that I really love, like more than anyone. Like, and so
Of course.
For me, it was like growing up, it was Raul, obviously. And then after that,
yeah,
you know, I think Modric took the mantle. And Bale, it was Bale for a while too. Bale, I really, really loved. And now I think it's Camavinga. So I hope Camavinga can stay for a long time.
I was just a vague acquaintance, a vague memory.
Hey, man.
Mine right now is
he's going to play against Chelsea.
Ansu, Pedri, Ansu. Gavi.
Yeah.
Those three. Yes.
Good choices.
But of course. But Koeman was like my, I mean, again, it was my first jersey, bro. It's still my only jersey with a name on the back. Koeman, you're put, Camavinga cannot be my, your, you know, my Koeman. That is, you are a grown man with the father of two kids. You're not an impressionable adolescent or even, you know,
yeah,
what was that at the time? 9, 10 year old.
Yeah.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Listen, Champions League, what's going to happen tomorrow, right? Tomorrow? No, Wednesday.
Tomorrow, Real Madrid plays Chelsea.
Tomorrow. That's why we're doing the pod today, by the way.
I didn't know that that's why we're doing it today, but I'm thankful we're doing it today because...
Also because I got out earlier than I would normally do. But yes, that's one of the reasons. I would like to preview that though, before we spit up the
vines. Okay, let's do that. I also really, really wish that Villarreal Bayern was not at the same time. I would just love to, if that was like scheduled 2 hours before the Real Madrid game, I would love to just watch that one in peace, you know?
I'm sorry, Villarreal Submarine listeners, if we have any. You guys are going down hard. This is not going to be a contest, I think.
Which makes it extra painful because they could have been up more than 1-0 based on how the first leg went.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
I think they're going to get their in for a beating now.
But it's funny because I know exactly where your mind is right now, and it's not to jinx them. You actually genuinely just want every good team in this competition to stay in there just to make Real Madrid's life as impossible as possible. And so I know that's not even a genuine jinx attempt. You actually want them to go hard. You want them to go down. Evil son of a bitch. For the Spanish football flag. We don't even... Diego's off. This is a Churros y Tacticas podcast, man. We got to support all the Spanish teams.
I'm sorry. It's true. And I normally would, especially against the German side. But
that's
true. Lewandowski to put fucking four past Madrid before he signs with Barca.
Future Barca signing Robert Lewandowski? Any truth to those rumors?
I don't know, man. Well, I mean, I don't know. You hear things.
All right, that's it for another day. There's not like much to preview for tomorrow that I think that hasn't already been said, because like I mean some of the newer wrinkles that maybe haven't been said is that, you know, Chelsea's momentum and morale is probably a little bit better now. They're coming off that 6-0 thumping of Southampton. Lukaku's injured, so maybe some thoughts that trickled in of Lukaku dominating Nacho in the air are gone now. Obviously not having Militao is really going to be painful for us. Hopefully not too painful.
So you guys really rate him, huh?
Militao? Militao has had an awesome season. And we're really, really happy with that signing in hindsight now. I think there are definitely mistakes that he makes. But in terms of a leader, in terms of not backing down to anyone, in terms of his ability to read the game. He's fantastic. He'll make mistakes, and he's made several this season, but, you know, look, we went through like half a decade of Ramos mistakes before he actually became amazing. So we also have experience in just, hey, like, you know, I know we're not known for being a patient club, but a lot of our legends had to go through a lot of growing pains and mistakes before they reached that status, you know. Yes. So we're very happy with him. I don't know how tomorrow's going to go. Definitely feeling nervous about it. I'm feeling more nervous about Yeah, I'm feeling more nervous about it than I did. I was nervous about the first leg, actually. And I think that's probably just because tomorrow is even more at stake. The season's on the line. When, you know, when Real Madrid could go out or advance, I mean, this is, everything comes to these moments. Everything we do, all our work, all our fandom, it comes to nights like tomorrow. This is what it all comes down to. This is what we all wait for. This is what we get most nervous about, is nights like this. So, yeah, nervous for sure. Nervous. You never know. Like, I see too many people talking about two goals. Like, two goals is shit all, man. Like, you can go into halftime down 2-0 and then score three goals in the second half easily. You can score two goals in 5 minutes. Two goals is nothing. I don't see this big... I'm not confident about just... I mean, it's nice to have, but it's not a big thing.
I agree. However, looking at Chelsea's momentum, looking at the turmoil that is surrounding the club within not just at board level, but also in the pitch with Tuchel and Lukaku, and it's all a bit off with Chelsea, and I don't think they have the mustard might. They don't have what it takes to, at this point in time, take out a Real Madrid that has a two-goal cushion. You know, I'm not saying that they cannot win maybe 1-0. Madrid's a better team, and they're playing at home, and they got a two-goal cushion. Their leaders are in the league. They're about to win the league title. They're at least going to win this one, you know.
Spoken like a sincere culé who wants nothing but the best for Real Madrid. I don't think you're wrong in anything you said. I think the mental state of both teams is different. Although, look, I mean, I can't say for sure. They did just win 6-0. You never know what they could put together for a game like this. Tuchel is still a genius tactician, regardless of what happened in the first leg. He can figure a lot of things out. But I think some of your points are valid, and actually, I think all of your points are valid. It's still in the air for me. There's a lot of variables that go into this, and I just don't know. I don't really know. I mean, I'd be curious. One thing that I'd be curious about, and I don't think Chelsea will. It'll be interesting to see how aggressive Chelsea will be to start this game. And one thing in particular I want to see is how they work the Reece James matchup. And will they go with four at the back or three at the back? Four at the back seemed to do them better defensively in the second half against us. But three at the back was worse defensively, but also better offensively. So I wonder what Tuchel does there and how much they'll chase the game early on. Because if they chase the game early on and Vinicius gets space there, then that's a great sign for us. But if they become a little bit more pragmatic and just try to nick a goal before halftime and not go so gung-ho, I think that actually might work in their favor in some way. Because Real Madrid attacking low blocks, that's something that they can struggle with. And I don't think Chelsea will go deep anyway, but I think they're capable of having a very solid mid-block where they can cut off passing lanes and they can make sure they cover the space in behind the fullbacks through coverage. And they have a really good overall press when they want to implement it. So I think, and that wasn't apparent in the first leg because they just were bad for whatever reason. But it's one of those things I'd be interested to know. So a couple things. One is, will they go with four at the back or three at the back? How aggressive will they be to start? And whether or not, they'll try to implement a high press or not. And all these questions that I have. And I also, like, if Carlo goes with the first, like, starting lineup, I'd be pretty happy with that. Obviously, with the one change being Nacho from Militao. We'll see.
And Chelsea capitalize on their chances and be efficient.
Always their question.
The goals, the chances, right. I mean, this game, I didn't see it. I'm going over some of the highlights now.
Which one?
Where
Southampton?
It seems like, you know, it was a perfect game for everybody from
Bernier,
obviously,
game.
To Mount, Alonso, etc. Yeah. Efficient in their chances of goal, something which they weren't, of course, in the first leg against Real Madrid, where they missed, Lukaku in particular, missed those sitters. We'll see. Hopefully, like you said, they can come out aggressive early on and have some chances, convert those, start putting pressure on the home side by being up 1-0 and going to the half maybe with a goal advantage, who knows, maybe 2-goal and make this a battle, make this a knockout round where, you know, they still fight for their lives. Let's not forget, I mean, they're still European champions, right, at the moment. So never underestimate the heart of a champion. We'll see what they can do.
Any love or any hope for Atletico versus Manchester City on Wednesday?
Absolutely. Oh, Sid.
What did I say?
Absolutely.
Manchester City. I got that right.
I thought you said 19. You did, yeah. No.
I thought I said Manchester City, but the way you reacted made me question whether I said the right team or not.
Because I thought I was thinking United. I just saw a headline with United. Anyway. Both ways, the answer is yes. It's very interesting battle between what we talked about several podcasts ago, this battle between Pep's vision and Simeone's vision, the 5-5 low block vision versus the initiator and the risk taker. So who will win? It's going to be tight, I guess. Because Simeone knows exactly what the fuck he's doing in the back and limiting space attacks. It'll be very hard for City to add to their goal tally in the Wanda. And they'll have to be also quick in transition to stop any counter attacks coming from João and company.
It's interesting to see what Simeone would do because the general feeling will always be that they'll go into a low block and shit house and try to counter, which is obviously on the table. But when you look at them at home, they've always been more aggressive. Whether it's Juve, whether it's Liverpool last season, Manchester United this season, where they were just literally like just throwing people around and winning the ball cleanly, attacking. I mean, it's just. At home, they're just a different kind of team. And I just wonder if will they do that against, that? Like, will they go into bully ball mode? Because I think that that's something that they're great at, you know?
I feel, though, that Simeone, it's a mental game for him as well. And he knows that he'll be frustrating the shit out of Pep with, you know, that approach, that the same... that Mourinho did with Inter Milan, for example, at the Camp Nou that year, you know, we should have advanced to the final.
Well, I guess my concern for them if they do go back into the low block is that where are the goals going to come from? Because they're not a blitzing counterattacking team. And
no.
Unless you really, really get great transition attacks from Carrasco and João and Griezmann and Marcos Llorente is going to be super important. Yeah, I mean, they have a lot of players to do it, I guess, but from a positional standpoint, it's going to be tough for them to even create chances and escape their half if they do that, go that route. So very curious to see what happens. But I do think that they can beat Manchester City. I actually really do believe that. I think it's probably like 20-80, but it's there.
If Simeone can push this game 0-0 into like the minute 80, he'll be well happy with that.
Yeah.
And then we'll see sort of... the Colchoneros come out of their hole, I would say, I would imagine. I think that's really the problem. I don't think we're going to see like a gung-ho from minute one and be like, come on, let's look for the goal. I think Simeone will be happy to sort of stretch out the 0-0 for as long as possible.
Or he'll do that and he will get an away goal and then he will get an early goal rather, and then he'll go into lockdown mode. All right, well, anything else? I'm just going to do a quick scan to see if we have any patron questions because I forgot to check that.
All right.
But
in the meantime, I'll just talk a little about Barça Eintracht, which is also, in case you forgot, it's on your agendas on Thursday at the end of the week. This other competition that we partake in called the Europa League. It's quite good. It's a good competition. It's fiercely fun. More humble teams, sure. But hey, we're having a good time, and we're going to try to win it. Second game now against Eintracht Frankfurt. Difficult German side, ninth, unless they moved up over the weekend in the Bundesliga standings. Finished 1-1 the first leg. The second half, we are playing at home, and I expect a more open game for Barca, at least, to be able to stretch out that pesky and disciplined defense from Oliver Glasner, who's their manager. And, we'll see. I think we should be able to get through. Anyway, sorry. Back to what you wanted, Patreon questions.
It's a great preview. No, there's none, so we're good.
Oh.
Yeah. So.
Get us on Patreon.
Patreon, where are you at, man? We'll ask them to submit questions for Friday, maybe. For our Friday podcast.
Okay.
All right, man. Well, I got a busy day, and you want to go be with your kids, or at least let them back in the house after you kicked them out. So why don't we wrap it here? And
good, bud.
Now it's starting to get, Earth is starting to heat up a little bit, so we can actually start taking advantage of sunshine a little bit. So. It's got to be.
Well, here, yeah. When the sun's out, it's boing. You feel it. You feel it. That has that summer punch already behind it. At least spring feel. Yeah.
All right. Well, you go enjoy that. Enjoy all the games this week. There's a lot. Friday's show was going to be a banger. So if you like this content,
it's gonna be awesome.
We got a bonus.
Sign on.
Imagine
up.
Like all of this stuff we just previewed. Villarreal Bayern that we talked about for 5 seconds. Atletico City, which we talked about for maybe 5 minutes, maybe maximum. Yeah. Real Madrid, Chelsea, which we actually did talk about a decent amount. Barca, Frankfurt, Diego's expert breakdown there, which was 15 seconds. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about all of that, the aftermath of all of that, but not everyone gets to hear it. Only those who are cool enough to be patrons over on patreon.com/churrosytacticas. Go there and you get a bonus show.
Become a patron because that Friday. It's a bonus show, more content with a little bit of extra cinnamon spice on the churros, if you catch my drift.
Cinnamon spice and heat and raw churros. Dough was literally sticking to the oven. It's still raw on Fridays. So if you want access to those raw churros, unfiltered, patreon.com/churrositacticas. Thanks, Diego. I appreciate your time as always.
Man.
Look forward to chatting with you at the end of the week. Peace.
Follow us on Twitter at churros y tácticas.
At Churros Tacticas without the Y. Follow us on Twitter. Churros!
In Spanish. Sports Social Podcast Network.